Podin tsawa lama rambu chi dhagi chewar pe me dengen karin chenpu goni jizun ne kuzan do jengi rosa de. Podin tsawa lama rambu chi dhagi chewar pe me dengen karin chenpu goni jizun ne kuzan do jengi rosa de. Podin tsawa lama rambu chi dhagi chewar pe me dengen karin chenpu goni jizun ne. Sado jenga rosa de Namaya laiga de lada ne jenga rosa de mega no Rogan jada ge jasa pata nyega sa da ge jene Soi vijo ya da 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 Rogan jada ge jasa pata nyega
So, welcome everybody. Good morning, everybody. You notice that our schedule from now on during 2015, we're going to start a little later because it's been requested a little later. That way, more people will be showing up because some mothers need to take care of the children, clothes, and some breakfast, then get over here. And because of that, I agreed to start a little later. It means 9:30 to 10, 9:30 get here, instead of 9 you get here. 9:30 to 10, there will be somebody lead meditation here, or somebody open the shine room and be prepared for meditation. Somebody will be here every 9:30. I mean Sundays. Then people, as you walk in, after you park the car and get here, so begin to meditate for half hour. And consider it that the half hour meditation is actually Sunday practice. Most valuable thing you do is the 9:30 to 10 meditation that you will do. And the extra benefit is the Lama supposed share and teach words of wisdom. So together you get very special every Sunday morning. So that is something that I want to mention for everybody. As our congregation members of Sangha grow, you guys need to park those cars close to each other, not waste extra parking lot between two cars that no cars fit in. So when you park the cars, I was hoping you all thinking about the other people that need a park, since we don't have a large space. We have a pretty good size, but we need to be considerate that. Now we're talking about the meditation. So I try to focus on the meditation part. So meditation is as soon as you sit, walk in meditation shine room, I want you to actually change your attitude and let go everything outside. And once you walk in, only one thing you need to do is a practice. That is very hard because you are not used to. But that's what I want you to do. So, one of the best tip best tip that I can say about your attitude, as soon as you walk inside the shrine room, as soon as you see the altar, as soon as you see altar, as soon as you see the Buddha, as soon as you feel energy, I want you to remember why you're here. Remember why you are here. Is that accidentally you are here, or you came here for some reason? Now, as soon as you realize that you came here for some reason, then the reason is your practice. You want to practice Dharma in your life. You want to practice the spiritual in your life. Everything else, you may have plenty. So now you want to practice the spiritual part of your life. If that is your intention, if you agree with me, that is something you want, that is something you're looking for, then I have advice for you. So advice is look at the physically respect to spiritual of yours. Whatever size you have, whatever powerful you have, whatever size you have, whatever connection you have, spiritual, your spiritual. I want you to respect towards that. And the way you respect is lukupesa, you do three prostrations. Say, I respect my spirituality strength, my practice, my connection. So you do three prostrations, full of devotion, full of respect, nothing else, nothing. Lukupesa. Ngakupechandu means next thing is you can also respect through your speech. May Buddha bless everybody. Or Buddha bless all living beings, especially those who need the most, those who are in pain, those who are in suffering, and those who are really confused. See, when I say really confused, I mean really confused, but we can't find somebody not confused to start with. What is Western culture says, "Nom," it means similar craziness, similar belief system, similar viewing everything. That's called Westerners would say normal. That does not mean free from crazy. It means a similar craziness, so they can relate with each other in a certain degree. I mean, it's not fully they agree. They agree some degree because of the way they see things, the way they believe things, the way they view things, so there's some similarity. That's called Nom. Nom. But if you want to find somebody completely real normal, that will be only thing Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, enlightened beings. Free from those who are attachment. free from those negative emotions, free from confusion. That's very hard to find. No matter how much they say, I'm not biased, no matter how many people might say, I'm not attached to anything, I'm ready to go everything, they still have a lot of things to not let it go. Also, sometimes unenlightened beings, that what they say is not necessarily what they really believe. What they really believe has nothing to do with what they say, but they say because they say it. And if you believe what they say, you got a big problem because you don't know what you're doing, because those who say something to you doesn't mean that way. This is how they say it, but that doesn't mean they believe that either. So there's a lot of misunderstanding. So there is no such called known. Going back to the subject, that somebody normal, really normal. Perhaps we're talking about equanimity, impartiality. Nobody have partiality. Nobody can practice partiality as long as those who are bound to the ego. In other words, those who has an ego. Those who has an ego, da. And dagger, I believe in I, believe in myself, I and my. If these two are mean to you something, that means you are not unbiased. You are biased. That also means you have ego. Your ego, you protect as far as you can, as much as you can, but ego, because of your ego, it hurts. Because of your ego, you facilitate yourself as a target, and then target, when you put yourself as a target, then everybody will touch on your ego, your target, and then what happens is you become very uneasy because it's within the boundary of your ego. Somebody try to get inside your boundary of ego, or somebody try to get inside your private, personal space. Somebody try to invade or broke the fence, border of your boundary. As soon as they get inside there, that's when you are very uneasy. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts so much. For some unenlightened beings, it hurts. It hurts one time. It hurts the rest of your life. So it started one time, then it never go away. So it happened one time, then it hurts the rest of your life. That's really serious, in my opinion. So the technique here is meditation. Through meditation, we reduce attachment and practice renunciation. We reduce ego clinging. Even though you may not get rid of completely your ego clinging, but you can reduce in a degree where you can also experience some degree of unbiased equanimity. For Buddhists, that's a major practice. For Buddhists, that's an important practice. So if we're looking for gnome, it's very hard to find what draw the gnome is. But the gnome, in a samsara point of view, is as close as is what the morally think is right, what you think is acceptable with the society, that could be a gnome. But that doesn't mean they are right. That does not mean they are right. It can be all around. But that's not the problem, because if it's all of them wrong, you follow the crowd. You follow the crowd. It means you just walk in that direction just because everybody walk in that direction. That does not mean they know where they're going. But that's how unenlightened beings view. And the point here is, knowing yourself, you knowing everybody. How we're going to do that is you work inwardly rather than externally. So how you're going to work inwardly means work with your emotions, work with your confusions, work with your ego. So everything you focus inwardly, then your concentration and your practice is focused directly to yourself. So if I may say correctly that. So we're talking about physically respect was bowing and doing prostrations. And the best part of the prostration is when you prostrate, you want all enlightened beings bowing prostration to the all enlightened beings in 10 directions. Buddhas, Bodhisattva, present, future, and the past. And you visualize that and you're doing. Second part is respect through speech is I bow to Buddha, I bow to Dharma, I bow to all high realized beings who follow that, Sangha. I bow means I respect them because I like to be like them. So you may recite the refuge prayer when you doing the prostrations. So ngākūpe chamdo is respect through your speech, verbally. Yekūpe tengin zain, also intention of your mind is samadhi. You may be here half hour, you may be have 1 hour, out of 1 week, you dedicate that time is none other than solid samadhi, meditation. You come here, good reason. Three good reasons. Physically respect, verbally respect, mentally respect. The mentally respect to Buddhas 3 times, all enlightened beings in the universe, that regard. Whatever name the people call doesn't matter. As long as they are enlightened beings, they are all included. Did you know that one small object can be more than 30, 40 to 100 different names? If you agree with that, with a different country, different language, has a different name, if you agree that, then one enlightened being can have hundreds of different names based on 100 different cultures and 100 different languages. The languages of Tatu, Yumurong, Yenjeke, Bishatsi, Laike, the ghost language to animal language, to the human language, to any noise or any creaking sound has a meaning. It has a great meaning. It's just you don't know what they're talking about. It can go like, wow, great meaning. Language. They were saying one of the Buddhist texts are 360 languages. I don't really know how you keep count that and keep tracking that. But 360 different languages, I'm sure there's more than that. Languages. The point here is each one is talking about the Buddha, different name. That does not mean that the only way you say is correct, that everybody else will say is not correct. How we can do that? Because the way you view is the appropriate way. Everybody else's way to interpret it is wrong. You have major dilemma. You have major problems. Why I brought that here is the majority of people, their belief system is like that. My way is the best way. My understanding is the best understanding. My approach is the best approach. Everybody else is not so good. My culture is the best culture. Everybody else's culture is not so good culture. You don't realize, you just even don't know the other culture. You don't know what you're missing. But that does not come in your mind. You think my culture is the best. Every other culture, everything else is not good. That's how we view them. So the point here is, when we include all enlightened beings, in the universe, galaxies, millions and millions of universe, all enlightened beings in a different poems, different size, and a different shape, and different activities. If they are perfect enlightened beings, no matter what name we call, or they call, or he call, or she call, doesn't matter. All enlightened beings says, I'm inspired. I am inspired. That's all you say when you do it that way. Jokingly, I tell them sometimes, because Buddhist practitioners, I say, you're inviting all enlightened beings. If some of them is not enlightened, then that's not your fault. Because you already invite all enlightened beings. If they can't participate, it was a time of Buddha when he turning the wheel of Dharma on a third turning of the wheel of Dharma. Beautiful, wonderful. The third turning of the wheel of Dharma, particularly all the bodhisattva, high-level practitioners, they invited. The way they invited, talking to Manjushri or Bhajapani, corresponding with the Buddha, says, tomorrow we're going to have a teaching. At so and so area, that they mentioned the particular land and particular location. They did not spell out about address that you can put in a car or cell phone. Now, the Bodhisattva, when they announced that the tomorrow Buddha turned the wheel of Dharma of the Vajrayana teachings, our only qualified students can come. The invitation is available for everybody, but if you don't figure out, if you don't know where to go, it's your problem, not the Buddha's problem. Also, the transportation, if you don't have transportation to go there, it's your problem. It's not the Buddha's problem. He did invite everybody. It takes a miracle to get there. If you don't have miracle, it's not Buddha's problem. It is something you need to work out. And you deserve the teachings of that type of Vajrayana teaching. It's also qualification. So obviously, if you're not qualified, you wouldn't be there. Obviously, you will be there, whatever transportation it takes, you have it, what it takes, because if you are the qualified student there. So everybody appears in front of the Buddha miraculously, and these bodhisattvas and high level of students, they all have a superpower nature to attain that teaching. What a beautiful thing. On contrast with that, with us here, not necessarily saying that I am turning the wheel of Dharma as a Buddha, and not necessarily saying that you have a supernatural power to receive the teaching this morning, you're here. But when we look at many galaxies far away, to us, objectively, we are also model. And we are also taking the same kind of picture, that some degree of magic, some degree of auspicious, that those who actually ever to come, actually they have a gas to drive the car, so they don't have to walk. If it's walking many miles, it will be, say, forget about this, cannot do it. I don't even know where the direction is. And everything has cause and effect. We can see this if we look at from the moon, or we can see this, we can look at from a different galaxy, different universe. We look at this way, then you will see us, what we're doing here. We have one problem. We don't realize this has any significance. We don't realize that this is important. We don't realize why you're here. We don't realize what's happening here. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of things happening, and yet we don't know what's happening at the same time. So they're going back to three things. Respect physically and visualize Buddha's Bodhisattva during prostration, reciting refuge prayers in Sanskrit, in Tibet, in English. I bow, I respect all enlightened beings. Respect mentally, samadhi. Beautiful. beautiful. Samadhi is actually a mind, a Buddha mind. If you can do Samadhi, actually Samadhi, in Tengenzen. Tengenzen is a Tibetan word, Sanskrit language called Samadhi. Samadhi means you meditate a natural state of your mind. Your mind is a free from everything, anything, totally free from everything. Free from problem, free from confusion, free from expectation, free from suffering and pain. If you can meditate that, if you can bring that into your mind, it's also called Buddha mind. So you can say, how a Buddha mind is? What is the Buddha mind? The Buddha mind is a free from fixation, free from discursive thoughts, free from doubts, free from expectations, free from concept. Concept, we live on concept. Unfortunately, many people live on the past. Unfortunately, many people live on the future, which has not come here, but they're thinking about future too much. So they live, they breathe, they exist, they just breathe for future, living on the future. Nothing to do with the present. Nothing to do with the past. On the contrary, some people live on the past. Something happened, something experienced. You hate them, but you don't want to let it go. It is like, I don't want to let it go. I hate, but at the same time, I love. So you show in one side love, and then other side hate. And let's put that 50-50. Unfortunately, majority of people have more anger and hate than love and a positive attitude towards oneself, towards other, unfortunately. But I put them as equanimity. I put them 50-50 because I'm so feel like generous. 50-50. In other words, you didn't do any good, you didn't do any bad. in a between. Equanimity. Now we're talking about Samadhi. Samadhi. And synthetic nepa tingyenzen. And one of the Buddhist texts saying, if your mind is in a one pointed, on a one spot, with a one pointed meditation, it's also part of Samadhi. The best part of the Samadhi is, it's your mind. If we take your mind as a flame of the candle flame. They might have some candle flames around here. Candle flames. When the candle flame is an absence of the wind around, it should go straight, and it will be brightness will be maximized. Why I'm talking about that is when your mind is relaxed on one pointed, one spot, without influenced by discursive thoughts, the clearness, the luminosity part of your mind become more bigger, just the flame of the candle is a little bigger. But if I do like little air blowing, the clearness surrounded with the candle becomes smaller. Same with when you're influenced with different thoughts attacking you and you try to meditate. So your clearness is not too clear because you're taking here and there everywhere. Now, when there is no wind in four directions, and all the windows are closed, doors closed, and flame is going to be maximized. And why we doors and windows closed? Because then candle burns straight. And why we doors and windows closed with our body? So our body is facilitated as like the shrine room of this, as like our body. And then our mind is the candle flame. It's a candle flame like here. That will represent our mind inside each of us. So the more bright, more clear, stable the meditation, better the meditation is, the better experiences and a better result out of the meditation. So that's a lot of talk, not in a practice. So let's meditate. And if you remember what I was sharing, your body, speech, mind. As soon as you walk in the shrine room, your attitude change, and your body, speech, your mind, totally Dharma practice. The way you practice is, all the doors and windows of your sensory organ faculties all closed down, but more inside your mind, and focus on your flame of the candle flame. It represents your mind. The bigger is better, the clearer is better, and more stable is the better. And less stable is not too good. More stable is good. I know when you become more better meditator, your life become more stable. I know you can handle problems much easier. A more stable mind has a more protection. You don't go crazy. You don't go crazy because your mind is more stable because of meditation. And the crazy things, crazy thoughts come more when you are not so stable. Mentally not stable, then physically you're doing wrong things. Bubbly, you're saying wrong things. It's not you want to do, it just happens because you're confused. Your mind confused, everything get confused. Your mind, it's more stable, everything become more stable. Bless you where you work, they will be happy. Because you are more stable person. Friendship will be more stable because what you say is you really mean it and you follow up that. More stable. Verbally, you're more stable. Stable. Mentally, more stable. Physically, more stable. Everything, anything you do, it's a more stable. More stable means it's more formed. Formed. Is that word formed? F-I-R-M. Formed, like very formed, firm decision. It's a blessing. As a Buddhist teacher, I like students are more stable too. Not wishy-washies. And because I like that, I presume wherever, every organization, every work area, every school area, they can use that. More stable. Let's meditate. So, once again, 7 days a week, no matter how busy you are, or no matter how busy you think you are, sometimes we can be very busy, we just don't know why we are busy. But anyway, no matter how busy you think you are, you find a time, 7 days a week, you find a time, meditate a little bit every day. And in my belief or experience, maybe a little bit, is that's best thing you can do for yourself. And why I say that, by saying that, is when you meditate a little bit yourself, a little time every day, you watching yourself, you listening yourself, you're looking at yourself. Beautiful, beautiful. I know we designed to look others and not look yourself. Because several reasons. One, you don't look yourself. Two, you don't want to look yourself because it scares all of you. But you avoid walking near the mirrors because by accident you might see how it looks like. But let's focus on the talk that when we say your opportunity to look yourself means looking into your thoughts, looking into your mind, looking into world view of yourself. Very important to look at yourself in order to look at others. Looking into yourself means you're meditating. Looking at yourself means you are looking into your mind. Perhaps your basic goodness, perhaps Buddha nature, you're looking into inside yourself. Looking into yourself facilitates you become more stable. When your mind is more stable, everything becomes more workable, more stable. When your mind is shaky and not so stable, everything, anything, it's also not sure, not stable. Relationship is not stable. And everything, anything, what you think you know, you see, become not sure, not so stable, not sure. You become more and more sure and more stable if you look into yourself internally. Not as much as externally, more internally. Knowing internally yourself, knowing external become much easier. External, internal. External, internal. There is a question says, how I can know how I know other people's what's happening, how I can help other people's what they need, other sentient beings what they need, how I can help them. And this question rises in the time of the Buddha. The answer was, first you have to know yourself. If you know yourself, I'm not talking about physically how you know yourself. I'm talking about internally, know your mind. When you know your mind internally, externally, everybody else's mind you will know more. And who can know everybody's mind? The Buddha knows everybody's mind because he knows his mind. Everybody else, they can guess, they can presume, they can pretend they know, or they think they know, whatever. But really, they don't know. Why? Because he or she doesn't know himself. His own problem. Not knowing oneself leads not knowing anything. Knowing oneself leads knowing everything. Knowing oneself, knowing everything. Another way of saying knowing one thing, knowing everything. Knowing many, many things, not knowing one thing. Majority known. Majority people, they think they know many things. The most important things, they don't know anything. So it says, unenlightened beings on the planet Earth, they're doing things day and night, concern and worry. They're doing all kinds of things entire their life. They don't have time to take good care of their health. They don't have time to eat good food. They don't have time to enjoy their life, traveling around the world. They didn't have any time to enjoy their money they accumulated. They don't. They're busy. They're busy. But they're from the eye of enlightened beings, unenlightened beings are busy day and night, but not what they're doing is not necessarily very resourceful, not very worth much. And not worth much means you can be busy, almost you don't have time to go bathroom. But that does not mean you accomplish anything. Now I'm talking about entire life. When you are teenage and until sort of speaking that you realize you're not going to do anything. You realize you can't do anything. At that period of time, what did you accomplish? What was the most important you done? Let me think. Did I did anything besides eat and sleep and pay the bill? Well, that's nothing unusual because everybody's doing. So something sticks out. What did you do? Something special. 20 minutes meditation every day. In a good day, it's 10 minutes I meditate. Because of their words, somebody says it's important. Also, that meditation, 10 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever you've done, could be worth more than anything else. You know, normal people will say that person is a good person. Or that lady, that person is a good person. What they talking about? Are they talking about looking, how they good looking, or are they talking about what? They're talking about quality of mind. They're talking about quality of mind. So your mind really need to be more stable. The more stable, the more quality that you have. The more quality, more benefit, more beneficial for all the people around you, especially near dear ones, especially people you deal with every day. It is important that the people you deal with every day, they hold you very high. And they hold you very high because it's not how you look, it's what you are inside you. And my mental qualities, your mental qualities, they don't hold you outside because you're handsome or beautiful or preciosa. Oh no, that's Spanish. So it's not they hold you very high, because that can be changed as you grow. The flower changes the color and complexion, and the fruits change your complexion and color. So do you. You also change as you grow. This is a change. But something never changes. It's the quality of your mind. It is quality of your mind. It values you more than anything else. Actually, quality of your mind also influencing the words come out from you. The quality of your mind also influencing, the word I was using is influence your physical activities that you do. So everybody work on meditation during 2015. Everybody, I want you to benefit from meditation, and everybody, I request come to no later than 9:30, meditate until 10, and then teaching. Then end of the year, when you don't miss anything, you will be have a little accumulation of meditation. Thank you very much.